Blog Talk Radio.
Come in and talk to me about what moves your spirit. Tonight I want to talk about school. How many of you out there like school? I've got a co-host supposed to be calling in at 347-945-6713. I got five lines open if you want to bring the conversation around to anything you want to talk about. I am getting real excited, and I want to thank you all out there. We're up to about 7,500 listens to the show, and it just keeps going up every day, and that keeps me coming back here. I'm going to do everything I can in my power to keep the show free. I'm not going to become a fancy blog talker, you know, with call screeners and all that other kind of stuff. My God, you think I was on Fox News if I did that? Actually, anybody out there think that Fox would give Norm a talk show? You know, I was wondering about that. Where would I be more likely to get a show, on Fox or on MSNBC? I really do like MSNBC. But I'm going straight up against no-neck Rachel Maddow right now. So if any of you out there, I'm sorry, I shouldn't call people names. I just don't like Rachel Maddow. I mean, I just don't like her. I do like Olbermann. I surely have hot and cold feelings about Chris Matthews and Hardball. I'm absolutely in love with the Ed Show. Every time I'm able to see the Ed Show at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on, or Eastern Daylight Time on MSNBC, I always answer the cell phone polls. I really like those. So I pulled a question tonight. If you want to call me, you can give me a text message at 240-461-0490. Did you like school? That's our question tonight. School. I teach school during the day. That's my day job. Somehow I get a sense very often that most of my students hate school. Why do they hate school? Why do we hate anything that's mandatory? I mean, that is a universal mandatory situation in America. Mandatory. From when you're 5 to when you're 16. School is a place you have to go, whether you want to or not. It's like an 11-year sentence. Everyone is born, and they get an 11-year sentence to school. Now, it's interesting, because I don't really remember school being a bad place. But then I don't remember not doing whatever I was interested in when I was in school. And luckily, I guess, I was smart enough that I could multitask even before the advent of the computer. God, there's no telling what I would have been like in the fifth grade if I had had a computer at my disposal. But, you know, everybody says that we all need now with this World Wide Web and all this crummy, unvetted data that's out there that we all have to become independent thinkers. Well, let me tell you something. I grew up with a father who told me every single day of my life, when you go to school, make that teacher check their data. The teacher's not right all the time. And I can tell you, I am surely not right all the time. Luckily, I think that I'm right way more times than I'm not. But now, gosh, we have the internet for instant questions. So I got five lines open, 347-945-6713. Let me check who's in the chat room. I've been ranting away here. Hey, guest 3639, how are you tonight? I see you over there in the chat room. Did you like school? Did you like school? Don't tell me. Well, I know I hated school, but it helped me, you know, and I had to be disciplined and all this other kind of stuff. The question is, do you like school? Would you have gone if you weren't forced to? I want to know the answer. Let me ask you another question. Can you think of things that you learned outside of school? Remember crawling under the car with your father and learning how to change the oil? Remember learning how to fix a flat tire? Do you remember learning how to accomplish your tasks? Was I in school when I was at the Aviation Officer Candidate School in Pensacola, Florida, and was trying to learn how to fly a jet, which, by the way, I didn't do very well at, although I gave it a good old try, but that's a whole nother question. I really don't want to go there about whether or not we have to be citizen soldiers. So, guess 3639, what do you think? Did you like school? You can lurk out there. That's perfectly all right. What in the world was that? I still got no callers on the line. Hey, something really interesting happened today. I think it's interesting. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted 13-6 to sending the nomination with a recommendation to confirm Elaine Kagan to the full Senate. One Republican came over and voted with the Democrats. Otherwise, it would have been 12-7. That's roughly the makeup of the situation in the Senate, which is how which is why the same percentages prevail on the committee. There's a little piece of government trivia for you. How many of you out there knew that? I mean, that's a really kind of, I think that's really kind of a cool thing. But every time I think of the Senate and what's going on, I think of, you know, and the House and how everybody says we have gridlock and all this other kind of stuff. And all I can think of is James Madison's Federalist Number 10. And I think, you know, it's working like they thought it was supposed to. And it's not pretty, but it's working. It's absolutely working. Great, great, as long as we're on the topic of government, great, great piece in the Washington Post about, the bureaucracy and the contractors involved in the intelligence community and business. And it's really interesting because on this last AP government exam, there was a giant question on the federal bureaucracy. And according to all the scuttlebutt, apparently that question crushed a lot of people on the exam, including my students. The national failure rate was up over 50% for the first time in a long time, I guess, on the government exam. And mine was even higher than that, I guess. Well, it wasn't mine. The students in my class on that exam did not do nearly as well as I expected them to. I was really kind of bummed about it for a very long time. But that's all right. We got to move on. First, I meant to do this a long time ago. I wanted to give a shout out to a wonderful friend of mine who managed to, get himself a PhD. As the word says, the hay is in the barn. I really like that expression. And I got to add it to my normism. The hay is in the barn. And I'm glad to hear that. I need some callers here tonight. One thing I was doing, I was listening to an Illuminate conference. And I hope some of those people are coming over here to Norm at night. But there's a guy named James Bach. And he wrote a book. I'd never really heard of this guy before, but he wrote a book called Secrets of a Buccaneer Scholar, and that is definitely on my to-buy list. Now there's a big, well, everyone knows I'm an Ivan Illich fan and De-Schooling Society. De-Schooling Society, it's a book everybody should read. It doesn't mean that we don't educate each other. It means we do it without school. Really made me believe that we have some hope. It doesn't make it pretty. In fact, it's pretty ugly. If you don't have that prison structure, I need to stop doing that. School is not prison. It's designed on the same model, excuse me, but school is not prison. And I don't mean to think of it that way. You know how you can think of it? Really, when we're growing up, we're in the dark. We're really in the dark. When we're at home, we only see the world from a tiny little perspective. And it's dark, and you go to school, at least when I went to school, and I think that's why it was tolerable to me. I went to school, particularly when I went to college. And in high school also, the world was opened to me. I began to see all different kinds of ideas. And I really like ideas. I always have. And sometimes I can be a little overbearing. And I fight hard for what I believe in. So I'd like to try to learn how to take that word fight out of my vocabulary. Because the clash of ideas, I'm a big fan of the dialectic, you know, where you have an idea, then you have an opposition to the idea. The idea and the opposition clash with each other, and out of that, excuse me, comes a synthesis or a new idea, which then becomes the thesis, and then a new antithesis develops and a new synthesis, and the process is ongoing. I like Hegel's dialectic. I like the Greek dialectic. I also like Marx's dialectic. Let's face it. I'm a fat left-hander. I don't make any pretense about that, which is probably why Secrets of a Buccaneer Scholar appeal to me. You know what else I did? Because I was trying to get ready for this whole topic of school. And so, when's the last time any of you have ever listened to Barack Obama's speech that he gave at Wakefield High School? I listened to that again this morning, and I'm becoming very disappointed with Barack Obama, the President of the United States. But after I listened to that speech, I realized why I voted for him. Now, can anyone vote or run for president and be the same guy they were when they were that state senator in Texas? Remember Barack? He used to make all that noise about, oh, when I was just a state senator, but I was opposed to the war. Well, I started to feel pretty mad about the idea that, well, you're not a state senator anymore, Mr. Obama. You're the President of the United States. So if you're the President of the United States, you can pick up the phone and do something about it. I'd like to think it's that simple, but it probably isn't. Hey, I got a guess. I've never tried this before. I got a guest asking me for a private video connection. I'm not sure. I've never had this happen. This is kind of cool. I guess I got to have a video on my phone. I didn't even know you could do this. Holy cow. I got my little vid camera here. Sorry, I had to go away for a minute. I guess I got to... put in the bid. This is exciting. Norm is learning something new. And here we go. A private bid connection in the chat room. I don't know what's going to happen, but here we are. There you go. There's Norm. I got to make myself look good, huh? Let me put some more light on the subject. There we go. I don't know if that's what you wanted to do or not, but there is a bid connection. You got Norman Knight. There I am. Let's just take this out. Oh, I guess that guest is gone. Oh, well, let's go back to the switchboard. Hey, I got a caller coming in. Hey, you're on with Norm at Night. How you doing out there? Wait a minute. Try it again. You're on with Norm. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, all right. So you've been listening to me talking about 10 million different things here?
Yeah, you were hopping around pretty good. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess my ADD's kicking in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I was a judge for National History Day.
Uh-huh.
At the county level, back in Anne Arundel County.
Oh, geez.
And, well, anyway, so I went to public school lady. We're both the judges. You know, and she was a very nice lady. She really was a very nice lady. And I was asking these kids questions. She couldn't understand how I knew all this stuff. I says, well, God, we knew what these things were going to be last night. Didn't you read anything about them?
Oh, huh.
But anyway, she says to me, you know, 25 years I've been in the student support business. You are undiagnosed ADD. There's not a question in my mind about it. I'll never forget that. I go, well, great, give me some speed. I'm ready.
Oh, I see. The percentage now is huge. I mean, between attention.
You know what the really sad part is?
What's that?
It's not the kids who really need the stuff that are making. Now, kids who are not ADD are buying pills before they take the SATs. To, like, supercharge the concentration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that, what do you think about that, world? 347-945-6713. Mm. You're on with Carl and Norm.
Yeah, I think it's one of these things where, I don't know, let's say it's being over-diagnosed.
Over-diagnosed?
I think they're, well, I don't remember all these mutated kids running around when I went to public school.
But you know what the problem was? You know what they did then?
We had corporal punishment. I know. They'd smack us.
Well, no. They dropped out of school. Jesus. They dropped out of school and they went to work in the factories.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And
they had
no
factory
to work in anymore.
Yeah, well, I only remember in, like, the entire school, there was, like, one class, you know, the special ed class. And
yeah, well.
And that was it, and there were, like, maybe 20, 30 kids there in a
school. I don't even like to think.
It was a school of, like, 1,000, you know. And so it's,
right.
You know, and these kids weren't hyper as much as they were, you know, slow, you know. So,
well, some people say they weren't slow at all.
Yeah,
God,
but they were in. It's not like they were. I don't know. I think they were. It was not much happened there. I mean, they were just sort of. They were the caretaker. Yeah, I don't know that they learned a whole lot. You know.
Hey, you know what somebody just did? I don't even know you could do it. It must be a new feature of Blog Talk Radio.
What's that?
They tried to initiate a private video connection with
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that while I was on hold. So.
And they're gone now.
Oh. Mm.
That's my IP address. They're
putting
a lot of new cool stuff in here.
Yeah, maybe I'll look into that later on. I'm not near the computer. I'm out on the patio. And
published by video. Oh, wait, there's all kinds of stuff here now. It's Google. I wonder if Google owns Blog Talk Radio now, too.
Mm.
Hey, I started, I discovered this new book tonight. I don't know if you heard that, Secrets of a Buccaneer Scholar.
No. Well, I heard the title. I haven't read it or heard about it.
I have, by this guy named James Bach. And that was really kind of interesting. I had a lot of fun out there. So what's going on out there on the West Coast?
Oh, let me think. I wrote something on one of my blogs. We were talking about, you know, first we started with unemployment and how's the economy ever going to get back again. And the problem is that the number of jobs we lost will take anywhere from 5 to 8 years to recover, assuming we have a positive GDP throughout all those years. And the likelihood, and what's also working against this, is the number of people who will enter the workforce, new workers, competing for these jobs as well. Potentially more immigration and potentially a higher retirement age, which leaves more people in the market because they can't retire.
You know, I wonder what the percent of unemployment is, although I'm sure you can never figure it out, among the illegals. I bet it's very low.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, that's, well, it depends. You know, when you develop, there was a study done on Puerto Rican families in New York City many years ago. It was quite famous. And they mentioned how the families were structured. This is when they were trying to find the welfare mama and all that sort of thing. Well, you generally had one or two people who were either disabled or on welfare or retired, collecting Social Security.
Right.
And they became the core of the family. Now, this would be multi-generational. There'd be usually three, sometimes four generations here. And rarely were there many males involved. Males tended to not live very long for a variety of reasons.
Shooting each other.
So you had this whole structure where, you know, there were the core people who got the government subsidies, and then the daughters who maybe got welfare, you know, and then, you know, children who also got welfare. And it was, there was a whole structure involved there. I mean, it was, and some of the people worked. They could be the young males when they were there or the young females. But it was a collective income so that everybody contributed to keep the household going. And from what I understand, a lot of these families work much the same way. So you'll have three generations in one household, and everyone has something going. In California, we send out checks to children of illegals. They get welfare.
They can't get Social Security.
No, but they get, there are something like 100,000 illegal families here receiving welfare payments for their children, because the children were born here. What they call an anchor baby, right? You know, so
anchor babies? I didn't know they had a name for them.
Yeah, yeah. See, once the baby's American, the baby gets whatever. And that becomes, and again, that's part of the parents may do whatever work they can get, but the baby is the anchor now because he's getting the checks till he's 18. I know.
I wonder what the Terminator thinks about that.
They've actually cut welfare benefits several times. May even do that again. Yeah, California is not the land of plenty anymore. A lot of the social service programs have been cut dramatically. Which brings me to what I was blogging about.
But what's the title of your blog?
Oh, well, this was just a quick quick little thing. We were talking about unemployment, the job situation, all that. And they said, well, how are we going to get these jobs going again? And I said, well, part of the problem is this, that our country invests, most of our funds go to, and I picked four businesses out. Well, I picked out two general areas. One is debt maintenance and supporting asset bubbles. And the bubbles that I listed were, number one, real estate. Next one, banking. Next one, insurance, to include health care. And the fourth one, education. And what I've picked is the four segments of the economy that have the very highest rates of inflation. These are bubbles. And a lot of people don't think of education as a business or as an asset bubble, but that's exactly what it is. And if you're a kid paying tuition, you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. And it creates a huge amount of capital investments to send people to college. It's pathetic.
Yeah. We have, now, you know, I don't know if this is particular to California or not, but we have college administrators all making $200,000-$300,000 a year. And, I mean, even the vice and the this and that, you know, the underlings are making this kind of stuff. At the highest levels, they're all $500,000 salaries. I mean, this is, come on now. You know, you're a school teacher, or at least you were. And, I mean, and they have their own retirement system, incredible benefits, just unbelievable compared to the private sector. But it's again, particular to California, they managed to get a proposition passed which guaranteed that 40% of the California state budget would be spent on education. This is 40% of $85 billion. And we still have 30% dropout rate.
Wait, yeah, I think you said millions. Did you?
Huh?
You said mills. Did
I
you
said
mean
billion? Billion with a B.
I know, but it sounded okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
Million.
No, it's an insane amount.
Billion
of money. Well,
I got to get this in.
Oh.
$85 billion sounds like a ton of money.
It is.
We spent that in Iraq and Afghanistan last month.
But that's a state budget, remember.
Well, I know, but...
But, yeah, in comparison, look at what you get. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, think about it. Take any city in this country and just hand them $10 billion, and it's huge. I mean, you know. Think of what they can do with it. It's enormous, you know. And we've talked about that before. That if you didn't have the Iraq War, Social Security would be solvent for many, many more decades, you know.
That's a whole other issue we can talk about.
If you want to throw the military in as the fifth asset class that are at bubble, I guess you could do that too. But my primary point was that any sector of the economy where the government has excessive involvement, this is where the bubble occurs. This is where everybody rips off the government and all the prices go sky high, because now there's no need for competition, there's no quality control, there's nothing, there's just a flow of money. And that's what happened in real estate, that's what happened in banking, and that's what's happening in education, and that's what will happen in healthcare. Well, it is happening, but it's going to be, by the time that thing kicks in, you know, I hate to think of what it's going to cost. I mean, for my insurance, or anything. It's a disaster.
So what's the name of this blog so I can go read it?
Oh, you wouldn't be able to get to it.
Oh.
No, it's a private thing, and I would have to get you a password. You would have to sign up and all that. What I should do is reprint it on my Motley Fool blog, because it actually started there, and then it drifted to another group.
Why don't you just start a blogger blog?
I had one for a while. But you know how blogs go. You neglect them, and that's how it goes.
I know. Every time I get a new idea, I end up starting a new blog.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Although Patty is, I put some interesting stuff up on Patty Wop.
Haven't been there.
Patty Crew. Hey, anybody out there you want to go to it? Patty2blogspot.com.
See, I
put videos up, and I really had a lot of fun with it. I was getting complaints from people that they thought they didn't like Patty and WAP across the top of the blog. So now it's an Irish flag and an Italian flag.
So it's not Patty WAP anymore?
It's still Patty WAP, the name, the title of the blog, but not flaring across the headline anymore. Although Patty was a little mad about that. And said he's going to clear out.
Oh, you know, if people...
Daddy's in the middle of Wyoming somewhere right now.
Yeah, I think people are a little too sensitive about that crap, but, you know.
I know.
I think how many times have I been called a Nazi, especially from liberals? Jesus. The first word out of their mouth.
No, that's really funny.
I don't take ethnic, you know, I don't take offense for ethnic reasons and that, but I know that it's, you know, sort of around that area, you know.
No, somebody called me a Nazi because they said I wanted everybody to do their computer stuff the same way.
Mm.
You know, I had to think about it. God, I was acting kind of like a Nazi.
Yeah, but, you know, there's one thing, you know, you can say, you're dictatorial, totalitarian, whatever, you know, you want, but you don't have to go there, because that brings up all kinds of other stuff. I mean,
it does.
You know, if I say you're a Nazi, then we have atrocities and this and that, and you know.
I love that bulletin board that the Tea Partiers put up. The one with the picture of Hitler.
Oh yeah, that.
National Socialism. The picture of Barack, Democratic
and,
Socialism.
Yeah.
And was it?
Yeah,
women?
Well, they had to take that down because, you know.
Was it women or?
It didn't make any damn sense anyway, so.
Oh, I just, holy cow.
What is a Marxist socialist? I've never heard of that.
Was it Lenin or Marx whose picture was up there?
They had a picture of Lenin, but he was called a Marxist socialist.
Right, but I couldn't remember if it was Karl Marx or Lenin's picture.
No,
who
it was
up
Lenin,
there.
Lenin's photo or painting, whatever.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, again, it doesn't make any freaking sense, you know? Other than they were trying to tie some points together, and, you know, again, I'm glad they took it down. I mean, it was stupid. Didn't do anything for their movement. Of course, neither did that Mark Williams character.
Hey, all you Tea Partiers out there, why don't you, you got 20 minutes to call in and try to take our heads off at 347-945-6713.
And the thing is, you know, like Mark Williams, he's got his start in radio here in Sacramento. Well, so did Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, and he lives somewhere in the area, North California. But his group, the Tea Party Express, was of all the Tea Party factions, that's the one that the Republican Party supports. They're the ones that rode the buses across the country and had Sarah Palin speaking and all the rest of them. I mean, they were the closest affiliate to the Republican Party of any of them. And here they are getting booted out. But I can see where the Tea Party, these other groups, you know, first of all, it's so diverse. There is no national organization to speak of. There just isn't, you know. So, it's tremendously embarrassing and for them. And the other, I think, you know, if they were trying to avoid the racist label, especially after the incident in Washington, you know, with the spitting and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now this comes out, and, you know, it's like, you know, you've blown it here now. You know, you've got the racist label. It's on you. You know, you're not going to be able to peel that off before November.
You know what, though? And this is, I'm just going to ask a question here, or probably people may take offense at it, but why is it okay to vote for the man because he's black, but it's not okay not to vote for him because he's black?
If you're making judgments based on race, you're wrong. So I would just go with that.
But
you know,
nobody says anything if a black person votes for him because he is black. That's just the opposite of a white person not voting for him because he's black.
Oh, absolutely, right. Yeah. And I'm sure there were some black conservatives who did not agree with Obama and did not vote for him.
Yeah, but it's 3%. 97% of them in the group vote and support the man.
Well, what would we call that? Do you want to call it racist? Or, I don't know.
I don't know.
You could make that argument. As long
as... Oh, wait a minute. I got something coming in.
Obviously, the word racist is generally a pejorative, and, you know, you don't want to use that word, so.
I guess, but, you know.
Let's say nepotism. If your brother's running for the city council and you vote for, you're going to vote for him because he's your brother.
My father always voted for Frank Sinatra because he was Italian. He never voted for Chet Cole because he was
poor.
Yeah, right.
So, what can we say about that sort of thing? It's the Archie Bunker thing. It's back when you had ethnic neighborhoods and they union bosses and all that sort of thing. You know, the politics of the 50s and 60s is quite different from today. And people voted in ethnic groups. That's the way they did business, you know. If you were Polish, you ran the east side of Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still do.
Right. If you were Italian, you're on the west side. Irish on the south side.
Hey, I just want to give a shout out. Wait, I got to get this. A guest with no name comes and says, it's not being racist, it's being ethnically selective when you vote for it.
That's good.
But, well, why can't it be ethically selective to not vote for him?
Well, okay, I can say I did not vote for Obama because he was black.
You can say that?
I did not vote for him because he was black. I did not vote for him because I didn't agree with him. And I did not vote for McCain because he totally fell out of favor with me. You know, I didn't agree with him either.
So who did you vote for?
Voted for my cat.
You did not.
I did.
Well, I voted for Barack Obama.
Yeah. No, he was
not.
He was
and
going.
I was really, and I said it earlier on the show.
Yeah, for me. He was going under
another person. Wait, another person from the chat room comes up with, in the booth, I'm accountable to no one but myself.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I don't mind saying that I didn't like either candidate, you know.
You know what really disturbs me about Barack Obama? Actually, it's nothing about him.
Mm-hmm.
I just did not expect what happened to him to happen to him.
Well, you know, I mean, I've got a ton of criticism I could heap on him, but generally speaking, he became, or maybe always was, the same type of corporatist that has been plaguing our government for a very long time.
Do you really think he was that?
He's the kind of person that Eisenhower warned about.
Whoa!
And so was and is McCain, and so is and was Bush.
What kind of person, what kind of
person
who is Eisenhower warned about here?
A person who is sold out to the corporations, a corporatist.
And you think that's Barack Obama, huh?
That is him to a T. And his buddies, Lieberman and all. I mean, come on. I mean,
Lieberman's not his buddy.
Lieberman is a, well, I'm saying Lieberman has no regard for anything except the people that give him the bucks. He's Mr. Pharmaceutical. We'll call him that.
Oh, Joe Lieberman, Mr. Pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
Let me go to the chat room and see what they think about all this stuff. They're just aghast here. No one can believe it.
Mm.
I'm trying to figure out how to make my video, is this thing plugged in? Maybe I have to highlight somebody.
Yeah, well, maybe. I suspect that it has to work through Skype. I mean, I haven't even looked at it. That's what I think.
Well, no, I got this. There's these things on top of my page.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure that out. Uh-oh. There's another. Oh, this is a big one coming out of the chat room. I'm going to quote this one. Americans value a sense of pride and accomplishment, and we are essentially selfish. People do not feel much better about themselves now than they did 2 years ago. Obama is not an inspirational leader. He's a talker. Ever seen Elmer Cantry?
Obama. Yeah, he does a great job covering up things that I mean, consider his policy in Iraq and Afghanistan. What are you looking at there? A continuation of George Bush. That's neoconservative policy straight down the line. He's building another empire. 2, 3, I don't know how many. Defense budget keeps going up and up.
Uh-oh. There's a, right straight out of the chat room, there's a new conspiracy attacking Blog Talk Radio. It's called the Blog Talk Conspiracy. New fancy icons on your screen.
But, you know, I mean, I'd have to go back to the conversations over the past year or 2 years, you know, if you thought Obama was anti-war, you're wrong.
I did.
If you thought he was anti-business, you're wrong.
Well, I did.
Well, I wouldn't mind him being, you know, we need someone who's pro-business, but the facts are that, you know, this stimulus bill, the first half of it was absolutely wasted. I mean, just all it did was support union workers and government, and it didn't contribute shit to the economy. With the exception of unemployment benefits, which actually do have a return. Only because the people are hungry and they have to pay the rent.
Nothing the matter with union workers. Careful.
I guess that may have been true about 40 years ago, but it's certainly not true today.
Well, there are hardly any of them left today.
Yeah, except in government.
Yeah, but...
And they make more than anybody. And they get raises every year. And they don't get laid off, do they?
The last 8 minutes of the show here, you know, maybe we should... Did you see the big article in the Washington Post over the weekend and today?
Oh, I haven't. No, I haven't read the Post.
You should go to WashingtonPost.com. It's about the contractors in the intelligence business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've heard some things maybe related to that.
I mean, it's been all over the news today. I read the article.
The vast number of hiring, I mean, it's just insane. Thousands of people hired to work intelligence in that. 51.
Here, you want to hear a good one?
Mm.
I talked to somebody today whose husband worked in the intelligence business for the government.
Mm-hmm.
They were transferring his position from the general area, I don't know, to New Jersey or something.
Mm.
He didn't want to go.
Aww.
So he left the government. He's doing exactly the same job in the exact same location that he was in for a private contractor for twice as much.
Yeah, sure.
That's horrible!
Yeah, from what I heard, we have 51 different agencies who are all monitoring Al-Qaeda communications and spy networks and whatever. 51. But you know, also these guys that work intelligence with the government,
uh-huh.
They not only go to, private intelligence gathering groups, but they also work for corporations, and they do corporate spying, too.
it's horrible. Hey, guest 4556, how are you? Oh, my Lord, here's a great one. Are you ready? National security is the WPA program of the 21st century. Well stated, chat roomer.
Oh, yeah. Well...
Obama is anti-leadership.
Anti-leadership? Oh.
Well, that's actually, I know where this call came from, I mean, where that comment came from, and this guy knows a lot about leadership.
Oh, okay.
I can actually say that because, I mean, I know him, and I've watched him exercise it, as well as all the theoretical guap, too.
Mm.
It's really fun. I see that guy run a meeting.
Yeah, I...
Albert Gitch. Oh, there's been two beauties tonight.
Mm.
Thank you, guest with no name. And the Elk Gantry of American politics.
Hey, you know,
Homeland Security. That's better. I think that would be better.
Right.
answer to secure. Homeland Security is the WPA program of the 21st century. Hallelujah.
All I'm hoping for is the...
somebody writes, hey, we haven't been attacked since 9/11. God bless our security agency.
Really? How about Fort Hood?
I leave that to the chat room group. What about, Fort
how about,
Hood?
How about Fort Dix?
I don't know. What happened
you want
in
some
Fort
more?
Oh.
How about the New York subway?
If the guy knew how to set a fuse, there would have been a big explosion in New York. Hey, we got to be getting near the end of the show here. We got about 4 minutes left.
Yeah,
so if you want to get in on it, folks out there, 347-945-6713. I'm telling you, my listenership has started to go through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll try to keep the controversy up. Oh, by the way.
Well, I hope so, because people are listening and they're downloading the shit out of the show.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this, for all your listeners, vote Republican this November. Now, even if you have to hold your nose and close your eyes, do that. If the Republicans can get the House, we can keep Obama on ice for the next 2 years.
Oh my God, folks, you didn't hear that on the Norm at Night show, dude. Folks, there's the biggest reason at all to go out there and pull a lever for those Democratic representatives. I don't really care about the Senate. For those Democratic representatives is to keep Pelosi in the Speaker's chair.
And then we'll put some, and maybe we can get a repeal of the health care plan, get that to go through the House.
You'll never get a repeal of the health care plan.
I know. I would... But
it would be vetoed so fast your head would spin.
But I know Ron Paul wants one. I at least want to see it on the agenda.
Oh, my Lord. Well, he's not going to win.
We'll see what happens.
He's already burned, and that crazy lady in Nevada's flamed and burned.
And see, that's, you know, when we talk Tea Party right now, this lady in Nevada, whatever, I can't remember her name right now, but... she's just a born-again Christian. She has nothing to do with libertarian values. She hasn't a clue. And if you're going to throw someone like that out there, that, you know, I wouldn't vote for her, and, you know, ever. You couldn't pay me enough to vote for that woman.
Well, you know,
but I mean,
this sounds really kind of scary. As long as the Dems would have kept the majority in the Senate, I would not have mind seeing Harry lose. I really don't care for him.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. I mean, if you're one of these, you know, kind of out on the fringe types, whatever, let's say like a Dennis Kucinich or somebody of that sort, you know, you're going to get to make a lot of great speeches and statements and whatnot, but not much else is going to happen.
Kucinich is not on the fringe.
And the same thing, I guess, is true for Ron Paul, you know.
You know, I've heard rumors that Hillary may take another poke at him in 2012.
Well, we'll see how unpopular he is, you know.
If he would win in 2012, I don't think she would have a chance in 2016.
Yeah, I tend to think at this point, don't you think the spirit is gone? I mean, she's going to do what she's doing now. And
I don't think so. I really don't think so. And the ultimate irony of the Democrats, and this is the last thing on the recorded show, folks, who does Barack Obama turn to save them? Bill Clinton. That is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton is leading the real, the oh.
Well,
it's amazing. Anyway,
well,
that's it for tonight,
most
man.
Most of the staff are leftovers from the Clinton administration anyway. You know, crap.
He is so used. And, you know,
not
Michelle,
much of a transition,
you know,
there.
He's going out to tend the cotton behind the White House in a little garden.
Oh, God.
I can't stand her.
Mm.
Anyway.
Well, we got our gig in.
Hey, thanks for calling. That was a great little show tonight. And and please, listeners, anybody who... Please don't take that wrong. I was making a crack about Michelle and her garden.
Yeah,
I'm kind of remark about, you know, picking the cotton.
Well, you stir up some controversy, maybe you'll get more calls next week.
Hey, you know, everyone knows the number, 347-945-6713. Norm is out of here.
Maybe next week. Maybe next week you can write a letter to Lincoln.
Hey, thanks. That was a great conversation this week. Thanks for calling.
Okay, take care, man.
People love our conversations because they're listening. The numbers just keep going up and up and up.
I'm so pleased.
All right, I'll talk to you next week.
Take care,
guys. Get this blog out on public display.
What's this?
Get your blog out on public display.
All right, if it's not too political, I'll throw it into my Motley Fool blog, you know.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
All right, take it easy. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Night.
Night.